This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Elijah Blair.
Well, hello and welcome to Deadly Choices Radio. My name is Elijah Blair, and before we begin the show, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where our program is broadcasting on and acknowledge traditional owners right across Australia and where you may be taking our program from this evening. DC Radio, it's all about mob making deadly choices. At this current time, these are protecting yourself and protecting your family, eating healthy, remaining active in body and mind, resisting the temptation to take up smoking, or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. Let's go around the grounds. We've got a big show coming at you this evening. DC Ambassadors Brenton Bowen and Petro Sivanasiva join us. Fellas.
Hey, Elijah.
Hey, Elijah. How are you?
Doing well. We've got Deadly Choices Program Development Officer Samuel Pierce and Nathaniel Blacklock joining us as well. And we also have IUE's Dr. Richard Mills and Deadly Choices Ambassador Brenton Bowen joining us. Great to have your company, guys.
Hey, hello, guys. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
No worries at all. Let's start off with a yarn about the Blues and Maroons partnership with Deadly Choices. Petro, you're on the show to yarn about the Maroons, and Nathaniel is here to yarn about the Blues. This should be an interesting chat. Petro, let's talk about the partnership, when it first came about.
Yeah, I guess it's a fantastic partnership. Been going for a couple of years now. It's just wonderful that, you know, we've partnered with, you know, two iconic teams, and obviously with the Deadly Maroons, Deadly Blues concepts, it's fantastic that we get the buy-in actually of the respective Origin teams as well. They see the importance of linking in with Deadly Choices, and obviously, you know, the link to community, the love of rugby league within communities, whether it's in Queensland or New South Wales. There is a love and a passion for those sides. So to be able to link with, as I mentioned there before, iconic brands in the New South Wales Blues and the Queensland Maroons, it's been something that I think, you know, the community have definitely loved. And it's wonderful to see, you know, those our Deadly Choices, Deadly Maroon shirts or Deadly Blue shirts out there in the community. It's been a wonderful initiative, wonderful partnership, and it's something that I'm really excited to see grow beyond 2020, and it's going to be, as I said, a wonderful partnership relationship moving forward.
Now, yes, you mentioned those Blues and Maroon shirts. We're going to see them pretty soon. How can we get one?
Yeah, just importantly, you know, get down to your local medical centre, get your 715 done. That's the best way to get it done, you know, and it's, making sure that you and your families have got your health checks, they're all current and up to date. You can get yourself either a Deadly Maroon shirt or a Deadly Blues. Obviously, you want the Deadly Maroons.
Of course.
They're the winning team, obviously, so why not get one?
Hey, Nathaniel, what excites you about the partnership?
Oh, we get to reach out, you know, the opportunity to reach out to us down here in New South Wales. Deadly Choices have been so great in Queensland, and it's really helped our communities, and it's putting back in community. And we are targeting, like Petro said, we are targeting, you know, these iconic teams, New South Wales Rugby League. And, you know, their passion for community just shows with the partnerships that we have. You know, I've been as far as Will Canyon and Burke, you know, Broken Hill, these guys, and they do not hesitate to, you know, to promote Deadly Blues. It's so good to see in the New South Wales areas, because everyone's asking me about, you know, where can I get a shirt? And I said, mate, it's mainly Queensland, but now you guys have actually come over the border mm-hmm. and got to the Deadly Blues. It's just opened up a bigger environment and also a bigger brand around New South Wales, because it is a partnership, but also there's a rivalry between it, if you know what I mean. And so it's so good to have.
That's right, mate versus mate, state versus state.
Exactly, you know, you got the medical services involved, and like Petro said, you know, to get them shirts, go and get a 715, get a health check. Now, not only for the shirt, but also, you know, for your own health.
And I suppose that's something that DC have done pretty well over the years, is using sport to communicate their message of health, and it's so important, you know, that our mob go in and get those 715 health checks, not only for their health, but hey, you're going to get a deadly Maroons or Blue shirt as well. But I guess, is this going to be a game? Who wins it? between the Deadly Blues and Maroons. Who wins that game?
Oh, you got to be Deadly Blues, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
No, I'm sitting on the fence on this one. I want to be neutral. I've got friends and family in New South Wales. No disrespect, although Queensland did win the series. And how many series did we win there, Petra? Like 8 or 9 in a row? Anyway.
Oh, look, yeah, there's quite a few, but, you know, as humble Queenslanders, you know, we don't like to gloat too much. I think it was about 8 or 9. Might have been 10 or 11, I reckon, you know. So, but who's counting?
Yeah, no one's counting, my man. No one's counting.
Good banter. Hey, yeah, just quickly, Petro, it's funny. A mate of mine actually gave me your book. I'm going to get into reading that very, very soon. But, you know, I suppose it's been a while since you've been in the game, not to make you feel old, but, you know, when you look back at your time in rugby league, what stands out for mind?
Oh, look, you know what? I think, you know, and Nate's the same, and Brenton, you know, we're lucky because people in our communities cared about us, you know, helped us as juniors, you know, realise our dreams. And I think that's something that's always, you know, something that's been really precious to me is those relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up out of Redcliffe and, you know, people that were involved in my junior days are still at the club, you know, and I'm so grateful to what they did for me. And it doesn't matter where you travel around this country, you know, you always see the same volunteers, the mums and dads that give up their time on a weekend that make it happen for kids in community. And I think, you know, for the three of us, we're so fortunate that, you know, we've realised that dreams, but you always go back to thanking those people and remembering them and making sure that you acknowledge them, you know, when you're talking about your career, because without them, without the foundation that they provided, we wouldn't have had the careers that we've had.
And certainly you've continued your interest in rugby league. You know, you've stayed pretty involved with it, you know, with the Bronx, with Fiji in particular. I understand you guys have developed sort of some pathways in Fiji. Do you mind talking about that just quickly?
Yeah, look, it just, again, just creating pathways for young people. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, from Fiji, I mean, look, I was lucky. My parents moved here when I was only a toddler. But, you know, you know, this country, I'm so grateful, you know, to the opportunities that I received, you know, through education and through sport. But I'm now sort of thinking about what can I do for the country of where I was born. And, yeah, I mean, obviously rugby league's a sport that's on the rise, and we've seen some great Fijian players that have progressed in the NRL. So mm-hmm. It's just about opening up that pathway, opening those doorways. And, yeah, so I've got a team coming in from Fiji next year. They're going to play in the Ron Massey Cup in New South Wales. It's just an exciting opportunity to get them to play and understand and play in an Australian competition. And hopefully, you never know, a few of them might get picked up, and that could lead to a life-changing opportunity for them.
Absolutely. There's some fantastic players we've seen come out of Fiji. No doubt we'll see some more in the future. And it's great being an NRL fan when you think about the next 5 years, the stuff that, you know, Peter Volandis and company are putting in place, the pathways there in Fiji, also Papua New Guinea as well. We're looking to break into WA and some of those AFL, you know, dominant markets. So it's good news for footy fans for sure. Hey, I just skipped over a point. I realised the Maroons and Blues hoodies. How can Mob get a hoodie if they want them?
Yeah, same sort of thing. You know, it's really important just to, again, make sure you get down your clinics and get your health checks, 715. It's so important. And obviously we've got some great competitions as well where you can win those hoodies. So, just jump onto our DC Facebook page, see all the details of all the competitions that we've got up and running, and you can get yourself a hoodie that way as well. So, fantastic opportunities to walk away with some great prizes, some great hoodies and shirts. But the main thing is obviously ensuring that your health is in check. Go get that health check. It's extremely important and great for you and your family.
All right, we're going to move on to White Ribbon Day. And just a reminder for our listeners, White Ribbon Day is held on November 25th, also known as the International Day for the Eradication of Violence Against Women, and is an annual day to raise awareness of family violence. Sam runs all of our healthy relationship programs at DC. We could yarn about that. Sam, what you do there specifically?
Yeah, thanks, Roger. So I'm part of the Deadly Choices team in Southeast Queensland, and another big component of the Deadly Choices that adds to the 715 health checks is our school programs. So we run programs for not only school students, but also community members. And we have a range of programs, a suite of programs, our healthy lifestyle program, which focuses on eight different elements that make up, it helps us to be healthy. We also have a tobacco program around supporting community to quit smoking and providing them the information around how they can support their mob. We have a Good Quick Tupper, which is a really a new program which has been revised, really fun and engaging program which focuses on cooking and those skills that we need to make sure we know how to cook healthy meals and how to access healthy foods. And then also our new DC Fit program, which is a really exciting one, which focuses on our youth, so 18 to 25-year-olds, that age gap, which sometimes miss out a little bit. So a fitness program for them that it really still focuses on culture and getting people moving and engaging them through that fitness.
Sam, why are these programs important?
I guess they speak for themselves, Elijah. I think obviously we know that there's, some disparities within health and education and so many different things for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the non-Indigenous people in Australia. But it's culture is really important part of our program. Culture is embedded within that. And how we do it is yarn to our mob and especially our young people and encourage that connection to culture while still educating them on different things they can do to make healthy lifestyle choices. And I think it's a cornerstone of living a healthy lifestyle, is having this knowledge.
Hey, Sam, just coming back to White Ribbon Day, I think a lot of times when people are in unhealthy relationships, it can be hard to recognise it. I mean, but what are some of the signs of an unhealthy, maybe toxic relationship?
Yeah, I think there's, like you said, there can be a range of things. It can be as simple as that communication. I think communication is a key part of any relationship. And noticing if there is some barriers or, yelling, swearing, arguing a lot, which may turn to bullying within a relationship. And then obviously some other characteristics, some other things that you need to identify is if there is any intimidation or physical violence. And that's when, if those things are apparent, that's when you know the relationship is probably an unhealthy one.
Mm. Yep. Breton, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation. And just if you could yarn about why healthy relationships are important.
This one, in some cases, like pretty simple is, increase happiness and life satisfaction. Like that's what we talk about healthy relationships. And this could be, with your partner, friends, family and the workplace. And some people are happy just to be single and have, big connections with their friends and family and the workplace, and you have in your friend group, you have that one person that you sort of like to talk to as well. So and for rugby league, Petro and Nate would have heard this before during their careers. If you're happy at home, then the happiness will show at training and on the footy field.
Yeah, absolutely, Brent. You're absolutely right, your brother. Absolutely right.
I guess, Breton, mate, what does a healthy relationship look like to you personally?
And again, just going off partner, friends, family and workplace, you got to have that mutual respect. Mm. Each person values, making sure each person values who the other person is and understands the other person's boundaries or beliefs. And again, you got to have trust, you got to build trust to earn trust, and telling the truth, admitting when you're wrong, and if you say you'll do it, you do it. There's been a number of times if some people say they're going to do it and then don't do it, and that's just sort of undoes all that trust you have in that person. And the other one, got a couple more, honesty, build trust and strengthens any relationship, whether it be, at home with your friends and family, kids or workplace. And the other one, I'd say was compromise, whoever you're dealing with should acknowledge the different points of views and be willing to give and take and vice versa.
Sam, when do you think we should seek help? And I think, you know, when we know about friends or family in unhealthy relationships, when should we look to get involved?
Yeah, I think sometimes that can be a very fine line, but reaching out, I think, is the first step. If you notice that a friend or family member or whoever it may be, a work colleague, may be having some difficulties or you've noticed some signs, I think just in the initial stages, as simple as reaching out and saying, hey, how are you going? Is everything okay? Understanding, explaining to them that it's okay if they want to share. And then I think if any other signs, further signs, maybe further intimidation or bullying or even physical violence, I think that is then a big sign for us as friends, family, whatever it may be, to probably step in and offer support, but also encourage them to visit other support services as well.
Just coming back, Sam, to the services that are available for mob to access when we find ourselves in unhealthy relationships.
Yeah, I think friends and family are probably a big one, especially for mob as well. Yarning to the right people. If you're in a relationship with someone, sometimes maybe your parent or carer might be the first person to go to. It might be an uncle or a cousin or a really trusted person within your circle, your friendship circle, which Brenton spoke about before. Would really encourage everyone to visit their local health service, Aboriginal Medical Service or Community Controlled Health Service, as they provide a whole lot of opportunities from counselling just to general consult with your doctor. And there's a social and emotional wellbeing services. They're all there within those services, and that's why we really encourage mob to go and visit and get a regular health check, but also talk about these things if it does come up.
Petro, if we can move into the Junior Murray Carnival, when that kicks off, where it is, all those key details if you can.
Yeah, no worries, Elijah. Really excited for Deadly Choices that we've got the Junior Murray Carnival on again for 2021. And for next year, it's happening in January on the 18th and 19th of January. So really, really exciting to get our young people out and again competing in what is such an amazing event. And really important, you know, for parents out there listening to register their kids. Obviously, really important to go get their health check as a way in which they can register their kids to play in the Junior Murray Carnival. Also, too, you can go to the Deadly Choices Facebook page to find all the relevant information that you need to ensure that you register successfully. So really, really exciting. And, you know, from my past experiences going out to the Junior Murray Carnival out there at the beautiful Redcliffe's Dolphin Oval, it is such a wonderful event, seeing all the families out there together exercising. Obviously, importantly, passing on those fantastic Deadly Choices messaging around, you know, healthy lifestyle, a good healthy diet, just making good healthy decisions. It's just great to see all the mob come out there, get together and celebrate through a game that we all love in rugby league.
And if mob want to get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, just to jump onto our DC Facebook page where you'll find all the relevant information around how to register. Again, we'd love to get as many young people out there, boys and girls, participating in our next DC Murray Carnival, as I said, on the 18th and 19th of January over at Redcliffe's Dolphin Oval.
And just for our listeners, again, head to deadlychoices.com.au/events for more information around the Junior Murray Carnival. Been really keen to talk to you about Origin, Petro. I know we had a yarn a week or two ago about it. I want to do a bit of a follow-up if I can. Your thoughts on the end-of-season format?
Yeah, look, I thought it was really successful. Obviously, it was a bit strange for everyone seeing, you know, rugby league played in November, but I think everyone was really captured by the intensity of the competition. You know, 3 weeks in a row. Obviously, it was a huge ask for the players, but nonetheless, they were really, really excited to be participating in what was such a fantastic Origin series. So it'll be interesting to sort of see what Peter Vlandis does, whether he chooses to continue to have it in November or do we go back to our former Origin series format of having it mid-season. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think generally, across the communities, I think they really enjoyed it. Three intense weeks of rugby league played, and what a series it was.
Yeah, I think they called us the worst Queensland side in history. And certainly we had a lot of debutants as well. Take us back to the moment you debuted in Origin, what it was like getting the jersey, getting the call, then getting the jersey, running out onto the field. What was that like?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those moments when you dream about. And I think, obviously, you know, with Ting, you know, playing Origin, you know, it's something that you dream about as a kid. You know, you have dreams and aspirations that one day, you know, you could get onto the NRL stage. And, first and foremost, it was just playing for your local community. I just wanted to play for my local club, and then it just took off from there. But, yeah, just an amazing moment, you know, when you finally get to the NRL, then you hear your name being bandied around as a possible State of Origin representative, and then to finally get that call from the selectors that you have been picked, it's just a wonderful moment for you and your family and all your friends as well, and all the people that have been a part of your journey up to that date. Nothing can ever replicate, you know, running out to that Origin Arena for the first time, that roar of the crowd. I debuted in 2001. I was one of, similar to this year, I was one of many debutants. And, you know, for us to go on and be successful in that series, as I said, was a dream come true.
Hey, Brenton, mate, you're a former North Queensland Cowboy. Your thoughts on where they go in 2021 under Todd Payton?
I'm not too sure. I suppose the only way to go is up. With the likes of Broncos as well. But, yeah, I think it's just a rebuilding phase. You know, they've gone like a few years now without JT, so I think it's time for, you know, guys like Michael Morgan, you know, all those senior guys to sort of step up and sort of, I suppose, take the lead. So it'd be interesting. I know Tony Payton has done a great job with the Warriors, you know, the back end of this season. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. So hopefully all goes well.
Brenton, you've been a part of teams with great, you know, generational type players, you know, that get injured or go through a bit of a rough patch where they're not playing too good. What's that like as a player when, I guess, your spiritual and physical leader is A, not playing good, or B, out through injury?
You kind of rely on, I know, you know, rugby league is a team sport, and, you know, everyone is paid to do their role for for the team. But, you know, once you get guys like, you know, like the big guns like Jonathan Thurston, you know, especially the Cowboys, you know, had my cousin there, Matty Bond, you know, once you see those guys go down injured, you kind of think, oh, you know, you have to try and, you can either go one way, either, you know, take a back foot and think, oh, no, this is going to be too hard, or you kind of step up and think, you know, this is our time to shine. Like, this is, you know, we can win these games without those, you know, those top players. I remember a game we played against the Warriors when we were without all of our Origin players, you know, and like five or six players out, and, you know, we were kind of written off and say, oh, hey, this is going to be like an easy game for the Warriors. But we, you know, I think we all sort of stood up and thought, you know, this is our time to shine. And part of that is, I'm in this first grade team, and I want to try and stay in this first grade team for as long or for as much as possible. So, I suppose one of those things where, again, you have to decide which way you want to go. Whether you want to take a back foot or stand up and show that you are able to play at that level.
I want to open this question up to both Brenton and Petra, if I can. But there's been a number of coaching roles that have we've seen a number of new coaches come into the league. Who are you most excited about seeing, coach and team?
Yeah, I was going to say Justin Holbrook. I know he's the first year into the Titans gig, but, yeah, he showed some really good signs with that playing group back end of the year. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes next year and sort of moving forward.
Petro, for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Brenton's right. I think, you know, it's been exciting to see what Justin Holbrook's been able to do with the Titans. They played some fantastic footy. I think out of all the clubs, I mean, there's some new coaches that are obviously getting their opportunity. I'm excited, obviously, with Kevvy Walters getting a shot with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Another former Broncos coach, Anthony Griffin, is going down to Nate's old stomping ground out to St. George. So I'm really excited to sort of see what he can do with the Big Red V. Obviously, a very, very proud club. And I think, Nate, you might want to talk on that. Yeah, how are you feeling about a new coach coming into the Dragons to take over?
Oh, mate, it's he hasn't played for the club, which is good. He doesn't get, play a season with the club, then becomes a coach. They need something different, someone from well left field, someone that's neutral, and someone that hasn't played there with new ideas. Griff, as Griff's straight up and down. He's straight down the line. He'll tell you how it is, and he's honest with you. And you've got to learn. We spoke about earlier about performance. You've got to learn to take that criticism. And they're criticising you because they know you can be a better player. They know that you're not giving 100%. And it's about taking that responsibility. And I think Griffo, he'll bring that to the Dragons, and he really, their attitude off the field will be better. Will be better than before. And you'll see a big difference in the attitude on the field as well.
Yeah,
Nate, I've got a question for you as well. What about your former teammate Trent Barrett taking over the Bulldogs? How do you think he'll go?
Yeah, I think he's time at the Doggies. He'll be a bit more prepared. He'll be able to learn a lot from Ivan, I think. And he's been around, the good coaches that he's really learned a lot of.
Yeah.
And as Petro knows, as a coach, you've got to be a good people's person, a good manager. You've got to have faith in the guys that work for you and trust what they're doing is going to benefit the team. So I reckon he's going to go really well this year, Trent, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, I got to say, I feel a bit silly. Nathan Blacklock, that's who I'm talking to, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had you down as Nathaniel. I was really excited about this, DC. I'm like, I need to talk to Nathan Blacklock. Awesome. And then it's Nathaniel. I'm like, oh, maybe they're related. But I feel a bit silly, but let's keep this chat going. Because I'm interested particularly in the outside backs for the Dragons, young Cody Ramsey playing some really good footy on the wing. Your thoughts on his development and I guess the development of the Dragons outside backs?
Oh, it's all about them, you've got to hit holes. You've got to create opportunity for our ball players. And sometimes, like when I play, I keep saying to guys, you never switch off a play no matter what. It could be tackle one, tackle two. You always push up and support and expect it. So always be prepared. They got them guys who can score tries, they got the centres, they got the young fullbacks. Mate, I remember saying to coach saying to me, you've got to come off every half with at least over 40 support plays when you're playing. So and that's a lot in a game. And I'd come off with sometimes 100 and something support plays, running my butt off like I was rounding sheep up. And these guys, they sometimes have a run and they'll just sit back and wait for the next play. Now, you sit back and wait, it ain't going to come to you. You've got to get out in the create opportunities. And I hope Griffo brings that to these guys, brings it to them and make them realise, you guys out there hitting holes, you guys out there alert and ready to go the whole time. Because, just like that opportunity's come up and you cannot miss them.
Mm-hmm.
In the game rugby league. So just being aware of every playing and playing what's in front of them, that'll be great to see this year because they got the ability to do that.
Nathan, you scored a number of great tries throughout your career. Is there one for you that stands out for mind?
Oh, mate, it has to be my first try. I went to the Roosters in 95 and my mum and dad come down that weekend and I was playing under 21s and had to play reserve grade and then sat on the bench for first grade. And I scored the winning try. Oh, not the winning try, but I scored my first try. We played North Sydney. And I guess, me being the youngest bloke in my family, three older brothers and, three sisters, just seeing my dad smile and proud of me, after the game, knowing that he supported me and seeing, that kind of thing happen. That's a try I remember because, my mum and dad were in the crowd and they travel all the way from Tinga. And I remember the car broke down four times for them to get here, wow. To get down there. And I was just glad that they made it.
When you look back at your career, what stands out for mind?
Putting in the hard, the hard work and being rewarded for it. Like, and I've got to spend time, you know, I've got to meet players like Petro, like Brent and that, off the field, you know. It's great to speak to them after a game. But, you know, achieving my goals and knowing that if I put my heart to things, something, I can achieve it.
Mm-hmm. Just one more question really quickly. When you were playing against, you know, your mates, did you find you went harder or would you go easier on them?
No, you'd go easy on them, but at the same time, you're sort of there for the team.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I remember playing against Presto and, you know, if he's resting on the wing and saying I'm bugging, you know, you're like, oh, well, I've got to look after you, but I don't want to look after you, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I always looked after him. You played hard, you played competitive, but you made sure the other guys didn't do anything wrong against him, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard to have a laugh and have a bit of fun, but yeah, you sort of got to keep that, you know, that competitiveness, be competitive the whole time.
Toughest player the best player you've ever played with?
Mate, I'll tell you now, Chock.
Yeah?
Anthony
Mundine.
Mate, he I know he talks a lot, you know, of course with boxing, but mate, he taught me a lot off the field as well than on the field.
Mm.
Just about being humble, just about, you know, no matter how good you play, you know, there's always next week. You got to back that up. You just can't live on that one game forever. You got to let that game go, and you got to prepare yourself for the next game and be better game in, game out every year. So, and I've learned that, and from that, you know, I've took that into my life as well. You know, never be stuck on one moment. You know, there's always more moments out there that I think get better and better. So that's one thing that I loved about him. And on the field, for some reason, we just had this connection where I knew he created opportunity, so I just backed him up.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just jump in there, Elijah?
Yeah, of course you can.
I just want to say that, you know, when I debuted at the Broncos and I was coming, we used to have some amazing clashes against the Dragons, and when Chock and Nate were on fire, you had to stand back and watch in awe, because it wasn't good being an opposition player. I tell you that, because that both of them, when they were on song, and they always were, they could make anything happen. And I just, some of those memories of the highlight reels of both those players. I mean, Chock and Nate, you know, they're just amazing to watch. And you know, I was one of those things you remember is, whenever either of them got the ball, whether it was Nath on the fly on the wing or Chock was, you know, his magic feet were working, picking on us tired forwards, the crowd would rise to their feet. And, you know, to be able to have that ability, that's a rare ability to have. And, you know, we're lucky we've got, you know, a real showstopper there in Ting and BB as well, you know, on the line, because As a front rower, I was very, very jealous of what they could do on the football field.
Oh, brother, thank you for that, mate. Thank you. And I don't know how Fords had nightmares about you just coming at them the old 80 minutes. I remember the boys saying, I had nightmares about Petro last night just coming at me not stop.
Nah, feeling was mutual.
That's great. All right, we're going to throw now to a COVID-19 update with Dr. Richard Mills. Doc, how are you first and foremost?
Yeah, good, thank you, Elijah. Thanks for having me back on.
No worries. If we can, let's get a bit of a general update around COVID.
Yeah, so not a huge amount to report, but I suppose the big news item is really on the borders opening. So we're recording this on Tuesday, the 1st of December, and the borders have opened today. And I believe there were wild celebrations at Brisbane Airport this morning as the first people came off planes from New South Wales and Victoria. Mm-hmm. So it's really good news. It's been a long time coming, and obviously we've been waiting for, you know, the reassurance that Victoria and New South Wales have been clear of community transmission for that 28-day period, which was stipulated quite a long time ago now. But it's all looking good for Christmas. If you're entering from New South Wales or Victoria, you no longer need to make that border declaration. In fact, it's only if you've been to a hotspot within the last 14 days that you're required to make the border declaration now. So things are looking really good from that front, and quite good for Christmas as well in terms of people visiting family and friends and really getting in touch with those loved ones we've not been able to be in face-to-face contact with for a long time. In terms of hotspots, there's still parts of South Australia that are regarded as COVID hotspots, but very small areas now. And of course, all overseas destinations are still regarded as hotspots. In fact, during the pandemic so far, we've had well over 100,000 Australians returning from overseas to our shores, and around 50,000 people returning to Queensland actually and have gone into hotel quarantine. So that's still a major operation, and probably around 4,000 people at the moment in hotel quarantine across the whole state. And so that's still a big sort of number of people coming in from quarantine. I realise from overseas, they are all in quarantine, and obviously we know that with such large numbers of people in those facilities, there is always the possibility that there could be some kind of lapse which results in a case outbreak in our community. So I suppose the message around hotel quarantine is that, you know, we have to be really certain that the systems and processes are in place to make those places really secure and make sure that people working there and serving those facilities are not able to catch the virus. And so far, so good in Queensland. We've had really excellent compliance with quarantine. There were a few cases right at the beginning, but since then we've had really good watertight quarantine here in Queensland, so all good.
Dr. Mills, in terms of the borders opening, is there a risk of a spread, do you think?
Well, the risk of spread is really if there's a virus in the community. So the virus doesn't spread itself. The virus is spread by us. And obviously, the more movement that there is in the community and across borders, the more likelihood there is of the virus spreading if it's actually in the community. So that's why there's such an emphasis on keeping the virus out of the community, and then we can move about much more freely. And people will obviously be aware that should there be an outbreak in Queensland, and let's hope that there isn't, but if there were to be, then there would be a very rapid shutdown, localised at least to begin with. There'd be a very rapid shutdown in the movement of people, and that's what we've seen in other states when there have been outbreaks, that, you know, the authorities try to shut things down very quickly and stop movement of people, because that's how the virus spreads. It can't spread itself. It has to have people to spread it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mills, the other big talking point that's come out around COVID is the vaccine. How likely is it that we'll see a vaccine in 2021?
Yeah, I think it's pretty likely that we'll see a vaccine. In fact, I think we'll probably see more than one type of vaccine. There's right. quite a few candidates in the running at the moment. Obviously, we need to be absolutely certain that those vaccines are both safe and also effective. And their clinical trials, as yet, the results, we're still waiting for publication on those. There's been quite a few announcements in the press, which I feel is a bit jumping the gun, really. And that it's not the normal way in which medications and vaccines are actually developed and introduced through the scientific world to begin with, and then obviously introduced publicly. But I suppose there is enormous pressure on governments and on commercial firms to actually reveal their results and to kind of give us upfront information about how effective and how safe these vaccines are. Obviously, the initial data that we've got suggests that the vaccines, in fact, all the vaccines that are kind of front runners at the moment, the safety trials have been really favourable. And in fact, some of the announcements we've seen around effectiveness have also been really encouraging. But we can't really take that as evidence or scientifically evaluated in any rigorous way until it's actually been through those safety processes. And in Australia, we have the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, which actually looks at all the evidence, thousands and thousands of pages of evidence that companies submit. And they're the group that actually decide based on the evidence whether medications of all kinds, not just vaccines, are actually safe and effective as well. So we've still got to wait until we get the thumbs up from the TGA, but it is looking very good for next year for the vaccine. And at the moment, we're sort of in discussions in our network and talking about how that vaccine rollout might progress. So lots of preparations going on, lots of discussion, and lots of planning really going on now to mm-hmm. think about how we can deliver those vaccines in a safe way that meets all the restrictions, of which there still will be some next year with COVID. So we're not out of the woods yet as regards COVID. So there still will be some public health restrictions around movement and gatherings and things like that. So any vaccine distribution will have to meet those requirements as well. But rest assured, your Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services are preparing and thinking this through and making sure that we'll be in the forefront, really, of delivering vaccine to anyone that wants it in 2021.
Dr. Mills, it's probably important for us to stress this, and maybe you could say it a bit better than this, but, you know, things aren't going to go back to normal just because there's a vaccine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Elijah. I think we've said right from the beginning there's two things we need really to beat this virus. We need a vaccine, which obviously we hope will prevent people at least getting serious illness and hopefully catching the virus at all, but we don't definitely know that. It may well be that the vaccine only prevents you getting severe illness. It may not prevent you catching the virus, and it may not prevent you spreading the virus. So there's still risks associated with that if that turns out to be the case. And then, of course, we also need a treatment, and we haven't really got any great treatments. We've learned how to treat people with severe illness better over the course of the pandemic, and certainly the death rates and serious illness rates that we saw right at the beginning, they have been reduced by learning how to treat people more effectively. But we still haven't got that medication or that drug treatment that we know will either cure COVID if you get it or prevent people having to go into ICU or potentially dying from the disease. So we need both a vaccine and we need an effective treatment as well. And at this stage, we haven't got either, but obviously things are looking very bright on the vaccine front, but we also need that that treatment. And investigation's still going on with regards to the treatment, but I think we can't really say that we've beaten the virus until we've got both of those things. And until that time, we're still going to have restrictions on physical distancing, as I've already mentioned, and hand washing. So we're probably not going to go back any time in the near future to what we would regard as pre-COVID normal. So all the mixing that we used to do and all the handshaking and hugging and all that kind of stuff that we used to not really think about doing, we'll have to still continue thinking our way through those kind of situations, and until it becomes normal for us to kind of work those protocols or those things that we've had to change as a result of COVID until they become a natural thing and a normal part of our lives.
I'd like to bring in Deadly Choices Ambassador Brenton Bowen into the conversation. Brenton, mate, you've got kids. Do you guys plan to travel this year as a family? And if so, how are you guys keeping safe?
School holidays, school's almost finished now, so about a week and a bit. But yeah, generally this time of year, we'd like to sort of travel, just in and around Southeast Queensland, up to Sunny Coast and down the Gold Coast. But we're going to sort of cut back a bit, I suppose. You know, like Dr. Mills was saying, we're not out of the woods just yet with COVID. So we're taking every precaution as we can as a family. Stay at home. We've got a pool in the backyard, and I have no doubt that the kids will spend most of their time in there during the school holidays. And I suppose sort of having a pool in the backyard is a big plus for a family for a few reasons. It limits the time the kids sort of spending in the house on their devices. And it limits the kids, asking if they can turn on the aircon. And also, again, we're talking about COVID, so it's being COVID safe, so it just limits their time, the amount of time that the kids ask if we can go to the beach or just leave the house in general. We'll be spending most of our time at home during this time. Sometimes where we, just go out of the house, but we're trying to limit those times. Yeah.
Dr. Mills, back to you. Just want to reiterate those signs and symptoms to be looking out for, and then just the importance of getting tested.
Yeah, so any symptoms really that we would normally associate with a virus infection, so cough, fever, runny nose, sore throat, and also more recently, vomiting and diarrhea has been included in those symptoms that should prompt us to go for COVID testing. Particular symptoms that are associated with COVID, loss of sense of taste and smell. And then obviously being vigilant about where you've been, who you might have been in contact with, whether you've been to a hotspot area or whether you've been to an area where there has been an outbreak in recent times. So luckily the last two probably don't really apply to anyone in our audience, but certainly the former, if you've got any of those symptoms, please come and get a test. The likelihood of it being COVID is still very low. But the only way we'll know if this virus is in the community is if we test people, and we have to test a lot of people, because when it is rare, you need to test lots of people to actually find out where it is. And if we find an outbreak, then to get on top of it really quickly by the methods we've already discussed, so quarantining people, if they've been in more than casual contact. And then people going into isolation. And at the moment, anybody who has COVID actually goes into isolation in hospital in Queensland. That's the method that Queensland uses for isolating people who have the virus, even if they've come in from overseas and they've been found to have the virus whilst in quarantine hotels.
Dr. Mills, just before we move on, is there any more information that you feel we need to know about?
Well, I think having the borders open has kind of increased our freedom of movement. So I think just basically enjoy the great summer weather as well, and do it in a COVID safe way, but also think about other safety as well. So think about your pool safety, your sun safety, and all those other things that we kind of need to still have in the back of our minds when we're out there enjoying ourselves.
Hey, let's go around the grounds and ask everybody their deadly choice for the week. Nate, I'll start with you.
Mine is I get up and I drink 2 bottles of water every morning and before I go to bed.
Petro, for you, your deadly choice?
Yeah, just getting out with the kids, exercising of an afternoon, just going, kicking the footy, whether it's riding our bikes, going for a walk, just getting out there and being active with them.
You, BB?
Yeah, for mine, my partner and I just we're in like a 3-week boot camp. So 6 weeks. Six weeks of the boot camp. But we're in the 3rd week. So we go every morning. Get up at 5:30 and start at 6, and then we're back home by 7. So that's my daily choice. Just continue to go to those sessions with my partner.
And Sam, for you, your deadly choice for the week?
Yeah, mine would be to continue to eat my 2 fruit and 5 veg every day, make sure I have healthy meals.
Dr. Mills?
Oh, I think I'm going to try and continue some of the healthy things that I've actually done during COVID, so increasing my activity levels, but also, some of the ways in which I've managed to connect with family and friends and keep in touch with people. Obviously, all my family are a long way away, and it's been great being able to catch up with them via video, and I want to persist with that.
And Breton, mate, your deadly choice for the week?
Yeah, my deadly choice is, I said a couple of weeks ago, in that 6-week challenge with my partner. So we've got a 6-week challenge with being like physically active, and I've got a meal plan as well. So sticking to that meal plan, and yeah, just continue to go to our boot camps and that.
Before we go, some Deadly Choices updates for our listeners. You can check out Deadly Choices Facebook for weekly live sessions, including Good Quick Tucker, Deadly Kindies, DC Fit, and more. Deadly Choices now has a Deadly Choices Programs Facebook group where you can access programs like DC Fit, Good Quick Tucker, and Tobacco Cessation, and even interact with DC ambassadors. Plus, when you sign up, you'll find out how to win a signed Deadly Ruse shirt. Remember, Mob, all our community-controlled health services are open and safe for you to attend, including our own respiratory testing clinics across Queensland. But make sure to call the clinic first, especially if you feel unwell. You can find your closest clinic details at deadlychoices.com.au. If you'd like to see Steve Renoff and Willie Tonga shake a leg, head to our Deadly Choices TikTok. And now is the time to prioritise quitting the smoke. Support is always available through your local community-controlled health service or Quitline on 137848. Plus, you can tune in to our weekly tobacco podcast live on Deadly Choices Facebook. And if you have any symptoms of a cold or a flu, like a cough, runny nose, fever or sore throat, then it's important you get tested for COVID-19. Call ahead to your nearest respiratory testing clinic to get tested today, and you can find your nearest clinic details at deadlychoices.com.au. Remember to make sure you're still physically distancing at least 1.5 metres from others when out and about. If you're in a situation where you can't keep this distance, please wear a mask and protect your family and community. Registrations are now open for the Junior Murray Carnival. Our 2020 DC Junior Murray Carnival event is confirmed for the new year, January 18th and 19th at Redcliffe's Dolphin Stadium. Don't miss the opportunity for more holiday fun. You can register at deadlychoices.com.au/events. Keep up with Deadly Choices on Facebook and check out previous podcasts on 989fm.com.au. Goodbye for now.
Deadly Choices Radio. Encouraging Mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.